What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Yeah. What's up, bro?
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Tired.
I don't know if you know anything other than that right now.
You don't live in it.
Are you sleeping a little bit more? Are you getting like an extra 30 minutes now?
No. Extra 30 minutes.
Man, I feel for you. I feel for you. My boy JP, that you know, him and his wife just had their son last week.
Okay.
And so I went over there and he's like, yeah, man, it's 12 a.m. feeding. Then he goes to sleep for 2.5 hours and it's 2 a.m. Then it's 4:30. And by that point, I'm up. I mean, you're up. What are you talking about? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, my younger brother, Christian, he's got two kids. So he had them both before Anaya. So he was like, you know what changed for me when I was able to handle it? When I just realized I'm never going to sleep again. And then once I realized that everything goes better. So, she's like, she plays with us. She'll like sleep all through the night one night, but then the next night, it'll be the next night.
You know, so there's no guarantees of what the schedule is yet.
Right. There's no. So you go to sleep anxious because it's like, man, do I really try and sleep or do I just make it better to get up? So That's the internal fight that, you know, we make every night.
What trick have you learned to try to fight through? Like, can you fall asleep at the drop of a hat now to like,
I need
this 45 minutes real quick?
Yeah, definitely. If there's any time that I'm not working and she's at home and she's asleep, I gotta make a choice. All right. Does some housework need to get done? Okay, this is the time to do it. All right, if the housework can wait, we napping. It don't matter what time it is. It could be 9 p.m. That's a nap. She doesn't really fall asleep till like 11. So, like, you're constantly making these Mad Lib decisions.
Right.
On, okay, what do I need to do? Is sleep more important right now? If not, if I can get through it, then, you know, some housework getting done.
Jeez, man, you are a true dad. You talking about housework?
Yes, sir, man.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. Man, I feel like everybody, I know so many people that are on their first. So my homegirl, Alyssa, you know Alyssa.
Yeah.
Alyssa, they just had their kid. JP having his, you having yours. Mm-hmm. One of my best friends, Sarah, she's on her second. Like, And people ask me, like, ooh, does that make you want to have one more? And I'm like, it's actually the opposite, right? Like, I'm seeing the amount of sleep that these people are getting, and I'm just like, well, that doesn't look fun at all. Like, I want to sleep. like your days of getting seven consecutive hours.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
And, bro, I just, mm-hmm. I don't know how I function without at least 6.5 and coffee. Yeah. Like you weren't a coffee drinker.
No, now I am full blown. I'm not addicted to it. I can go without it. Like, I didn't have coffee today, and it didn't really, I didn't even think about it today. So, but if it's available, you know, I might sneak in a cup, you know, cup or two, and then we gonna see how it go. But yeah, man, like, I'm definitely now I know what kind of coffee I like. I know how much cream, how much sugar I like. I'm an aficionado on what your boy drinks in terms of coffee.
I hate that you don't sleep anymore, but I love that what your daughter has brought into your world besides ultimate happiness is you're growing. That's growth. Like, there was a time on this podcast where you're like, ugh, coffee, I don't know how people do it. I don't need it to survive. And now you're like, nah, bro, give me a little cup. Give me some sugar. Give me some cream. A little caramel flavoring to razzle dazzle it up. But yeah, bro, that's growth. I love it.
I would not trade it, right, to my life for what it was. And you know, I'm okay. You know, I enjoy my life. I enjoy me. I enjoy being me. But you know, I would much rather do this. Like, this experience, this journey has been great. You know, so far, like, seeing Stephanie in a different light now.
Right.
It's like, you know, if something's happening, like, when the pressure's on, like, I'm here for it. Like, I'm here for the bright lights. I'm here for it. Let's go. Let's do it. You know, and that's what having a baby is. The lights are at its brightest, right? So, but yeah, man, it's been great. It's been fun. You know, obviously, you know, the lack of sleep is a thing, but you know, when you wake up and you look at what you're waking up for, and two, it makes it all worth it. So,
see, I want to call this this is the young dude cast, but it might be like the young dude and a half cast, because no,
yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like one you are still you are a young dude, but you've now mm-hmm. transitioned a little bit because of mm-hmm. not by age necessarily, but life right. circumstance. It's definitely like young dude and a half cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a guest today, right? I'm a guest on the show now.
You are. It's weird. Like, it's just like, ooh, we're going to talk about all the stuff we can't talk about. Jason, Kendrick and versus Cole right. and Drake. What are you? Who are you taking in the battle? Like, we got to get all our younger stuff off. Then we don't get to talk. But yeah, you're a guest. Yeah. Welcome in the guest, Tony Gill. I don't know if people can handle that. I think, first of all, streets have been very, oh, where's Tone? Like, I go to my parents' house. They're like, is Tony okay? I'm like, well, he not on crack or heroin. He just had a child. But the streets were concerned for a little bit. Like, is this the breakup? Is the Sports Jason podcast breaking up? Are the splits not right? it's nothing like that. We didn't go full Joe Budden podcast. We didn't fire you or nothing like mm-hmm. that. But no, it's going to be, it's interesting with you as a guest host. Like, you're very rarely a guest on anything. You're usually a standard mic wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. People, like, when they, oh, come join the show, you know, it's like, oh, Tony Gill's here to kick it. You know, yeah. I'm producing something, or I'm there to kick it with people. And I'm rarely in a space of guests. There are some people that want my Bulls opinion, still have me on, you know, every once in a while. But yeah, other than that, your boy is here.
We'll see. We'll get to your first guest appearance on the podcast that you helped birth. But let me introduce Pod. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Russ Dorsey, my main man, Hunter Grand, not on the boards today. It's weird to say. Tony Gill joining us. Streets have missed him. Tone, it is a pleasure to see you, sir.
Oh, yeah, man. I enjoy this. I enjoy doing this. This is fun for me. Right? Like, this is the part of the job that I thoroughly enjoy. So I hope one day that this can be my only job, where I can just do Sports Adjacent and then go home and be with my family. But
listen, man,
you know, we making it though. We making it work.
If that happens, that means this podcast will have done very, very well. So from your lips to God's ears, that happened. But somebody besides me who loves Tony Gill, the fine folks over at Cheats and Giggles, it is still sleep month when you're listening to this podcast. It's almost up though. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA to get 25% off during sleep month. And for our listeners, if you use our promo code or our link, sheetsgiggles.com/SA, or the promo code sports, you get an extra $10 off. So 25% plus the extra $10. Help the Colin and all the fine folks over there that help you sleep well at night. Help Tone get his 45 minutes every now and then of sleep while he's wrangling.
It's a great 45, though.
It's a good 45 these days. Sheetsgiggles.com/SA. We are also brought to you by BetMGM. You can get up to $1,500 back in free betting credit. If you do not win your first bet with BetMGM using our promo code adjacent1000, that is adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sports books. Tone, this is the interesting thing for me, and I was thinking about this today. This might be the longest period of time you've gone in your career not on the mic.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know how much you love this. And I wanted to check in with you, like, what has it been like after years and years and even going to school to be behind the mic, to be behind the board, and you're like, I have to step away from the microphone.
You know, I still do it slightly. You know, I'm still on the Bulls Talk podcast over at NBC. You know, I can chime in, you know, as much as I want, but on Jason Goff show, the Full Go, the Ringer, I get to, you know, chime in whenever, but it's not like, you know, bantering, you know, I'm going on long diatribes, you know, it's Jason's show. I'm there to support Jason there. And then here, obviously, I had to take a step back. But yeah, man, I mean, I had to make a decision on, okay, what's best functionally for my current situation, you know, and my family. And my main, I had to look at my main number one job, the one that people absolutely want me around for, is not necessarily talking. It's supporting, producing. And I love that. I still love doing that. It's not necessarily being on mic, even though I can. And I have that skill. My main skill is producing. And, you know, it's such a broad definition, right? Producing. People produce a bunch of different stuff. But I like curating conversation. Shooting ideas, bouncing things off of people, getting hosts in the right frame of mind, in the right atmosphere, in the right temperament to do a great show. That's my number one love, and that's what I want to do. So it wasn't super hard, you know, taking a step back from on mic stuff. It allowed me to kind of shore up what's going on behind the scenes. Making sure that, you know, I'm staying up to date with all the current tricks and tips and stuff in the podcasting world. Because it is, as you can tell, a lot of people don't do both. It's very difficult to be a talent and be on the production side of things. So that's why a lot of people don't do it. You either pick one or the other. So I've been blessed and fortunate to have opportunities where people want to hear me say words and people are entertained by me. But, you know, when it came down to it, what's best for me right now is just to be a producer. So, yeah, that's kind of where I was coming from.
So I give you a hard time here because it is hilarious. But I think, you know, and I think the people know that you are one of the most entertaining people I've ever met, right? Outside of being my friend, you are one of the most funny people that I know. And for everybody out there, our group chat is still alive and well. And it usually comes with a text from Tone and some social media post that he saw. That is 99% of the time outlandish and should not be shared amongst people, including his friends. And I think your ability to turn that into content is next level and top tier. And I think you should be on a microphone all the time. But I understand where you are in life. Like Jay and I talked about it on the last pod, where it's like, all right, well, Tone hasn't been here for a month, and we should probably address it so people don't think we fired this man. And so it's just like, all right, for you, because I know you talk about the life stuff behind the scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. Next step for Tony Gill at this point, professionally, mm-hmm. because I think you tell us all the time about, my nickname for you, my favorite is Family Man Tone. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if there's one thing, this man will quit all his jobs and be a family man. Now, obviously, he don't want to do that because he got bills to pay too. But like, I know you love your family that much. Mm-hmm. Professionally, mm-hmm. what is the evolution of Tony Gill going forward now that you have mm-hmm. some of these other responsibilities that are going to require you to adjust for the time being?
I think the best part about kind of where I'm at now in life is I get to refocus on long-term goals. Where before it was kind of like, all right, what's the next week looking like? What's the next month looking like? You know, where it kind of gets that way when, you know, you have a lot of responsibilities and a lot of people that want you, you know, part of different things, which is great. But taking a slight step back and seeing the bigger picture, now that there's, you know, more people involved, I can say, okay, what do I want professionally? Where do I see the growth in my career has been? And it's still in content creation, but, you know, I have in my heart to do larger projects, and a documentary is definitely on that list. I got a project greenlit from NBC that they want to do. And it's still in the baby stages. There's a lot of stuff going on right now, the Olympics mainly, for NBC to kind of worry about. But they like the idea. And shout out to Lawrence, who, you know, kind of helped me curate, you know, the idea. But it's a story, well, one of the stories that I've been wanting to tell on a bigger stage, because I don't think anybody has ever tackled this story. And again, shout out to Lawrence for piquing that interest in poking and prodding, and the originator of, at least for me, of the topic. And I was like, man, there's got to be a way I can tell this story. And I think that's kind of my next goal, my next venture is trying to make a documentary. I made two podcast kind of docs, the murder case of James Jordan I did while I was at 670 The Score, and then the Michael Jordan I'm Back facts, I produced that one as well and voiced it. So, but I enjoyed those, but I look at what's on Netflix and I'm watching all these documentaries, and I love sports documentaries, and I was like, man, I would really like to create one. And my first hope was like, man, I really want to be a part of the Derrick Rose one, but he already made it. And I'm like, come on, bro, you're not even retired. It's not even fair. So I was like, I was at The Score. I was like, I just missed it. But, you know, but yeah, like doing larger television, I work for a television company, and, you know, I have a great relationship with them, and, you know, people like my ideas. So that is probably my next goal and my next venture is making this sports documentary and, seeing where it goes from there.
I love that. And I think that's something that you are going to absolutely crush. And I think it will put you in a different light than people see you, because I think people hear your voice and like, oh man, audio Tone, right? The soothing voice of Tone at the beginning of White Sox game.
Right.
And they've heard you behind the mic since your mid-20s, right? Like, mm-hmm. whether it was jumping on doing Dean Davis, whether it was mm-hmm. EP and Lawrence's show, whether it was being on with us, whether it was being on with Jay. And now it allows you to do the same things, different format, different medium.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the one thing. So you always say, you've said it on this pod several years, that y'all are the reporters. I'm just Tone, right? Like, I'm just a lover of basketball or sports at large. This requires you now to put your reporter hat on. Like, are you excited for that? Where it's like, all right, I know I've kind of pushed away from this for so long, and I'm going to let my reporter friends be my reporter friends. But now to do these docs and to dive deep into different topics, it's like, all right, let me go ahead and put the reporter fitted on.
Yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed whatever this space that I've invaded in, and Jason Goff talks about it all the time. Like, it's just this little space where people take me just serious enough, but also not serious at all, which is the perfect space to be in when you're working in sports. Because it's like, it's the perfect space, you know, creatively, right? People don't pay you to, you know, be in that space, but if you enjoy talking, it's the perfect space to be in. But yeah, now having to, you know, read up on things and making sure facts are straight, to tell an accurate story and to be truthful, and making sure you're not embellishing things is definitely a different spin on how to create, you know, content. And I love that. I love the medium of storytelling. This whole thing, all of what we do is storytelling. Writing is storytelling. Explaining your life or how you think is storytelling. And making a documentary is a direct form of that. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited to take a more serious creative control over a story. This is my first venture. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm finding people that do know what they're doing. I have befriended the writer of the movie Air that came out, Alex Cameri. Shout out to him. We exchanged numbers, and then he's been a great sounding board on how do you make a good movie. He's been great, like, down to earth dude, you know, love talking to him. He's a Chicago guy, loves Chicago sports, even though he's, you know, in LA doing his LA thing, but he didn't have to help me, but he definitely is helping me do this. So talking to people, one, that actually know what they're doing with this, how to start, what do you do? Like, all that information it's been very exciting. And, you know, I'm going to go all out, all in, because I don't know where this could take me. Right. Like, if done correctly, this could be huge. This could be big. So depending on how I do it, especially with the backing of an entity like NBC, I'm going to enjoy this. It's going to be a lot of hard work, and, you know, a lot of commitment from my family. And I've already kind of discussed and with my wife, you know, just about, and she's down, right? Like, that's the whole point of marriage, is to have somebody in your corner to support, to work with you, to make your dreams come true. So when people are like, you know, some people's excuse of not getting married is, you know, I still got stuff to do, which is true, but it also can help boost what you can do, and you feel more confident. You have somebody every night to bounce off ideas and thoughts and things of that nature. So I'm excited about this new venture, man. I think it's going to be great. We still got a long way to go. I'm not putting projected timelines or anything as of right now, but
yeah,
it's going to be fun, man. I can't wait to get started.
I'm excited to see the credits where I see executive producer Tony Gill
or director. I don't know.
Director Tony Gill. Listen, man, the production credits, that's what you live for. I think the thing that I'm so excited hearing you talk about this next phase for you is that I think you have so many skills that people who usually do what you do don't have, that are going to help you so much going into this next phase on a new medium, where you have to be the guy that asks the questions now, right? You're not helping the people who are behind the mic ask the questions. You have to be the investigative reporter, so to speak. And you know how to do all that. You just crack jokes with it and say, I'm going to take the conspiracy theory side. But like, you know how to do all the things. This time, you're just not going to add the conspiracy theory opinion to it, the things that should not be said, the things that will stay in the group chat. And so I think you're going to be really good at that. And I also think from your producer background in cold call, email, phone call, text message, and your contacts are so deep now from all the years of building that from radio, etc., that opens up so many doors for you. And people like you, Tone. Like, for as much as I
can, I don't know why.
People, bro, who you telling? people love you. And I think that's going to be able to expand your wealth of people that you can contact for whatever it is, like for this new venture that you're doing, whether it's you're going to do a documentary about the 06 Bears, whether you're going to do a doc about Jabari Parker's knees and what could have been, right? Like the Brandon Roy doc, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so many people in so many different spaces across sports, you're going to be able to do so much off rip. And I would like to tell you, I'm super excited to see this next phase for you.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it, man. I hope so, man. You look back at, you know, what you've done in your career and all the people that you've come in contact with, and it is so important. It's the reason why you should treat people well, and you should respect people, even if you may not like how they do a job or how they go about doing their job. But if you respect people, you tend to get that respect back. And I know I say some, outlandish things sometimes and, crack jokes and stuff, a lot. But underneath it all, I respect everybody that chooses to do this job and in any versions of this job, because they have a similar story and a similar path that I have of doing something that they're passionate about. So that respect tends to come back, to you in various different ways. So I'm glad, one, that I had that the foreknowledge, but this, I just want to treat people with respect and treat people well. That's my first and foremost thing. And then everything else will kind of fall in place.
As long as you're not in charge of the Chris Dunn doc, I think you're going to be just fine.
He got into a fight the other day.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Yo, Chris, the Chris Dunn story, I will think about it random times of the day of you telling that man, you think you're going to be starting? You should.
I didn't know how to, as much as I tried, as much as I like stare down Casey and Joe Cowley and, you know, Cody Westerlund and all these people like asking questions, like to ask it in the way. I'm like, man, I did not go to school for this. Let's just say what you're thinking. just say it. Because you're not going to be super disrespectful. You're a nice guy. Just say it.
It is an art. There is an art to that. Like, I don't, you know, you talk to so many, you probably talk to more bums over the course of your career than like actually good. Like, think about it. You talk to more bums over the course of your career than you do like really actually like superstar talented players. Yeah. And you have to figure out, all right, how do we have this conversation where I don't make it sound like you're a bum and you don't feel like, damn, this dude thinks I'm a bum. Right, because even in what people call bum, you are better than most of the people in this world. You know what I mean? Like any bum, what people would call on an NBA bench would drop 65 at LA Fitness or Equinox or wherever. Right, like the fact that Michael Beasley is like this legend speaks to that. Like, Michael Beasley isn't the best NBA player. He had a great college career. But, like, this dude, I'll just look up on Instagram. Every Hooper's like, yo, Michael Beasley is. Nice. And you see it, and, like, you're watching a video on Instagram. Like, today I was watching Mike Beasley. I'm like, bro, I don't know
how. He's always nice. Hey.
Nice, bro.
I always said, and this is my personal confession.
You wanted him over Derek?
I wanted him over Derek. But I didn't have the extra knowledge of how he was in person. Yeah. But if you go, it's a part of it. It's a part of the drafting process, right? You want to see the mentals and the mentality of a person that you want to be a franchise guy. Can they handle that? So that's a part of it. But if we just look at straight talent, size, all those things, Mike Beasley was the best player in that draft. But I get why Derek was the pick, and I'm glad Derek was the pick.
I think for history's purposes, it worked out exactly the way it was supposed to. I think that the Mike Beasley we saw in college and the potential, that player is like there actively. Like, that dude has a mixtape, off-season mixtape that you nobody can do. Right, like I think of Mike Beasley at random gyms, Katie at the Rucker. Like, he's in that class where it's like, yo, if I'm running a full of random NBA players and I need to pick five, I'm picking Mike Beasley for one of those five because that dude be going. And then you're like, bro, how are you not in the league?
Right, yeah. Yeah,
like Tom, I'm talking. This dude might be. If you just watched the Mike Beasley Instagram highlights, you'd be like, "This is the best basketball player to ever live."
You're right. Yeah,
like, it's like Mike Beasley, summertime Ben Simmons. You're just like, oh damn.
Yeah, man. It all goes to the point of like why these athletes are where they are, and it's the reason why so many teams, you know, had Mike Beasley on their team. He played for a lot of teams.
Right.
And people don't just have you on their team, right? They just, man, he nice. All we had to do was unlock this. And this. Like, a lot of teams took a lot of chances on him because of his talent. But you're right. The original point is we cover majority of not great players in relation like
the majority to of players, the greatness in athletes their profession. In sports that you cover are like average to below average players. Which is what makes the greats, the standouts, the great players, the all-stars so amazing is that this group of players is the top 1% in the world. And in the NBA, it was like 100-something players, 200 players. Of these 200-some players, there's like 35 that we like say, all right, these dudes are like legit. And then everybody else kind of fills in from there. But the top 1% in the world.
But I guess we started this conversation originally just talking about how do you go about the job? And you can probably answer since you're doing it.
Yeah.
with the mindset that in the grand scheme of winning a championship, you don't necessarily matter. So how do I talk to you knowing that in the grand scheme, in the complete grand scheme of things?
That's a good question, because
you matter, but the superstar in modern sports are weighted so heavily, not just in salary, but just in impact and how these teams have mathematically formed everything that says, hey, these few selected players matter, and we need to have them involved as much as possible for us to win, which kind of de-emphasizes kind of everybody else. And when you've got a team full of guys that don't necessarily impact winning on a larger scale, it's kind of like, I know what this is. You kind of know what this is, but you can't really say what this is. You kind of got to give me the, you know, hey, you know, we put our trousers on the same way.
One leg at a time.
But, bro, you're not LeBron. You're not Mookie. You know, it's how do you go about doing,
man, it? Man, so it's crazy, because the person that actually helped me with this, and it happened before I ever got to the level I'm at now, was Barry Rosner. So when I was an intern at the Daily Herald, I knew Barry, and he's been like a mentor to me since I was like 20 years old. Hmm. And he would give me little tips that he learned covering, you know, on the beat for so long. And something he's told me since the first day that I met him was the 25th man is important. Now, they've added a player on rosters since he told me that in 2015 or whatever, 16. The 26th man is important. And it taught me a valuable lesson. Yes, MVPs are great. All-stars are great. Every team's going to have that best player. But to do what we do, you need that 13th man on an NBA bench. You need that 53rd guy on an NFL roster. You need the 26th player on a big league roster, the guy that is a fourth outfielder or fifth infielder or the ninth pitcher on this roster. Because those guys help tell stories. Those guys are in the room like everybody else. Those guys have eyes and ears. Those dudes end up being the best sources. You know what I mean? And so because of that, I came into it not looking at dudes as, you're a bum. I didn't look at it like that at all. Mm-hmm. It's fun, and I know that's how this conversation started. But that's more for jest. But like,
right.
I look at dudes as, you did something that most people in this world cannot do. You made it to the big leagues. You made it to the NBA. You made it to the NFL. And the difficulty in doing that is tremendous. And so there's respect that comes with that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, look, man, you got a job to do too. You were doing what you were asked to do. You came up, you're on a 10-day contract. You know you're probably not going to be here the whole season. But this is your World Series. This is your NBA Finals. This is your Super Bowl. So, like, I'm not going to take that away from you and be like, hey, I know you're going to be back in the G League next week, but how do you feel about? No. Hey, what do you hope to contribute while you're here? Mm-hmm. And you're going to get a lot of things. Like, some of the best stories come from that, right? Like, you learn a lot of things. And I've learned how to do the job better and, you know, being on the beat. And, you know, my last year on the beat was the year the Cubs traded like all the superstars. Mm-hmm. And I think they broke the record for most players on a roster that season. Mm-hmm. You had brothers coming up. I'm like, you're not real. Like, they created you. They created you in the basement of Wrigley Field. Like, you were you know, the automated player in like a franchise mode when you're in like 2050. That's you. And they were bringing dudes up, but you never know who those guys are going to be, who they're going to become, mm-hmm. right? You never know what story is there that you can tell. Mm-hmm. You never know the relationship that you build with that guy professionally. And so I've always tried to, and I got lucky in that regard, but it's something I try to share with young people who want to get in this business, is that, hey, don't look at it as stars and bums. Right. Look at it as people that help me tell stories, because the reality is most stars don't help you tell stories that well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about it. What we do, when you get the superstar that is a good talker, is insightful, well-spoken or whatever, you're like, oh, damn. It's the surprise, because most people think of superstars as being, you know, aloof. They don't want to, they talk in generalities or cliches, and they don't really want to talk or whatever. They got attitude. And then you get the dude that is willing to share and open up, and you're like, damn, this dude is going to be a star. No shit. Like, he's actually willing to open up, which, and that's another story for another day in the relationship that has deteriorated between athlete and media. And we've talked about that a little bit on the pod before, but like, yeah, man, I think because of that, like, those dudes help us do the job. Like, basketball season is long. Baseball season is even longer. And so you have to find the commonality that helps you tell stories for 7 months.
Yeah. Yeah. You're 100% that the superstars don't help you tell stories. The superstars rarely.
Very rarely.
Help you. And, you know, I know that firsthand. The first time I was covering the Bulls, and the first time LeBron came through, I think he was with the Lakers by that. Was he? I can't remember. But he was with the Lakers. I mean, LeBron was coming through Chicago. It was my first time covering LeBron, and I was waiting for post game, obviously, just to talk, and I got kicked out of the arena. I literally was told to leave the arena and escorted out by security. So, yeah, you know, it became a news thing for like a day that, you know, the Bulls were embarrassed. They reached out and apologized to me personally and stuff like that. But, yeah, like, superstars don't help you tell stories unless they reach out to you. So, but, you know, shout out to Chris Dunn. Like, I know where he came from. Like, I know his story, right? He had a hard way that he came up. So I respect him, you know, on that level. But it was just when you go in and you know the expectations of the fans and the level of play that's required. I guess my biggest thing is when people get misplaced. You're in the star role, but we all know.
Bro, but see, that's the thing. Like, what he gonna do about that? Like, you want him to go to, it was Jim at that. It was Jim Boyle at that point. You want him to go to Jim and be like, hey, dog, you know damn well I shouldn't be starting. Like, nobody's gonna do that. So, like, you don't want this man to apologize. It's like, yo, they asked me to do something, so I'm gonna do it. And then here's Young Tone, like, hey, you think that should happen? Like, you're kind of shitty, dog. Like, that is one of the funniest stories I will ever hear. But you could look back on that and be like, I was kind of wilding. I was wilding a little bit.
I was. I mean, I had no formal training. I had no idea what I was doing. I just had a credential, and I was like, I'm going to try my best to just copy what I see Casey and Joe Cowley and Cody Western do. And I tried my best. And that's what came about.
There's nowhere to go without. So, Tom, while I have you, there was something I wanted to talk to you about because it's ever-changing, and it's ironic that I bring it up on this platform, is podcasting in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I think maybe a year prior to COVID, you really started to see the podcast boom happen, right? Mm-hmm. You see different entities loading up, investing a lot of money into podcasting. You see a company like Spotify invest a ton of money into podcasting, whether that's Joe Budden podcast, Joe Rogan podcast. They threw tons of money at the Kim Kardashian, the Obamas, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, and a lot of those companies saw, especially Spotify, saw zero return, right? Like, I don't think Kim K did any podcast. I don't think the Obamas did more than like two. I don't think Prince Harry and Meghan Markle did any. Where do you see, because this is obviously like your job, is it a wrap for podcasting, right? Like, is it not going to be the same in the next 3 years as it was going into COVID?
I think what companies are trying to do, and they think they can just kind of throw money at it. It's truly the key ingredient into a good podcast is authenticity.
Yeah.
You can't throw money at it. You can't fake it. It's what I love about really good podcasts and true podcasters is the authentic conversation on whatever the topic is. You can't fake that, and you can't just put a bunch of great talkers into a single and think that's going to work either, right? It's like, right, it's got to be natural. It's got to be, again, authentic. So no, I don't think that the medium is done. I think that companies are going to be very, very strategic on what they spend on in terms of podcasting, because the boom happened so quick. And especially once the pandemic hit, where everybody was inside, people were kind of like, they needed something. They needed content. Right. And podcasting was like right there for them. It was easy to make. Grab a microphone, get a camera, and you're all good to go. So yeah, I don't think it's going anyway. I think it's going to change, because it's a dedication, man. Once you say you're doing a podcast, like, you gotta do it consistent every week. How many times a week you're posting? Consistency is the key, and a lot of people, when they don't get the gratification of 1,000 listens or, you know, whatever the case may be, they're not going viral, you know, for anything. And you really got to love this. You really got to love talking and love conversation. I do think that video is taking a more prominent role in podcasting, which is kind of like the next step, I think, for Sports Adjacent. How do we put this on YouTube? How do we formulate a show? Because how we do the show, you know, we just kind of say everything you want, right, and then we'll go back and edit it.
Right.
You know, that takes a lot of care and touch when you're talking about a video editing versus audio editing. And it definitely takes a lot of care when you're thinking about going live.
Yeah.
You know, it's, bro,
if we, I just don't think this podcast can work a lot. I think there's so much stuff said on here that people will never know about. Bleep this out, but like the Bussy episode, one of the funniest episodes we ever did, the world will never know, besides you bleeping it out right there. And I agree with your point, like the video element in the day of IG Reels, TikTok, things going viral, mm-hmm, is very important. I think it is something I've thought about in doing this podcast, is that because you have athletes getting into the space now, where the resources off rip are different than most podcasts will ever have, right? Like, you're able to do things that most podcasts can't do. And you're also talented. Like, I think Jeff Teague has one of the best podcasts in the world. Mm-hmm. But he's also able to make very viral moments. And not just saying anything, he's a great storyteller. Like, his recall of stories that happened throughout his career is fantastic. What Travis and Jason have been able to do with New Heights. You know, I think both of those two dudes are very charismatic. People like both of those guys. And they've really adapted to the space, but also you're able to get the best equipment off rip, right? You're able to get the best cameras off rip, and you're able to skip steps.
Yeah.
In podcasting,
you can pay for top quality editors.
Right. And I think that's a big part of it. And I think something for myself, you, Jay, like, this is not our job. This is something we do off the love. And like, we enjoy doing it, and we've built a community of people who like listening to our podcast. But I'm not gonna lie to you, like, it's really hard. Like, look, You're a guest on the pod right now because life has adjusted since we started the podcast 3 years ago. You know, like my life has changed significantly in terms of what I do in the last 3 years, you know. And it's, I'll tell people, it's hard to do the pod. Not that we don't love doing it, but it's hard in terms of us scheduling. Maybe for the last 8 months has been extremely difficult. And I don't know if people realize, like, for us to get this pod out on Fridays, it took a text on Saturday after we recorded or Sunday, like, all right, what are our schedules this week? And then it's like 10 messages of, I can't do it at these times. and you got three different times you can't do it. I got three times I can't do it. Jay got three times that he can't do it. And it's like, okay. And then we'd end up figuring out a time, usually late on a Wednesday. And it, and you see how things change, because when we started the pod, it was coming off COVID. You were working at the crib, so you had a more open schedule. It was summertime for Jason, so he had open schedule, and I was on the beat, but I could record whenever. And now it has been more of a, all right, what 60 to 80 minutes do we have uninterrupted this week where we could record a podcast? And so I think because of that, like, I think our road of podding each week is harder than most podcasts, because there are things that we are elite at that we do for our day job. And then we do this that we're also actually pretty good at. But because of the other things that we do, the mixing and matching of schedules is something that I think in the beginning I thought about, because there was a time where Lawrence asked me and Jason if we wanted to do the pod when we really started thinking about it, like, hey, do you want to bring this to House of L? And I've never told this before, but I'm like, I mean, I do, but like, I kind of don't. And when I said it, it wasn't because I didn't want to do the pod, and it wasn't because I didn't want to do it with Jason. It was because I didn't want to commit to it if I didn't think I could do it. Because if Lawrence committed to us, I wanted to do it 100%. And if me and Jay agreed we were going to do it, I wanted to do it 100%. I didn't want to do it and then be like, ah, I don't have time to do it anymore. And so it's been the thing, honestly, keeping it real with everybody, like, it's been the thing that has not scared me, but it's been the thing on top of mind for me in the last 3 months, where I'm like, all right, I don't want us to stop doing this podcast. And we won't stop doing the podcast for anybody after this concern. But it's just like, how? That's the real question. Like, how do we continue to do this as all of our careers and lives keep growing? And I think that's the part about podcasting that, you know, people don't always get. Like, it's very hard to do podcasts. Most podcasts don't make it a year. Most, I'd say 97% of podcasts don't make any money. And we've been blessed in all those regards, like, to be able to have a business that has been able to sustain itself, to be able to be on for 3 years is a blessing. To be to have the back catalog that we have is a blessing. Like, to have a sponsor like Sheets and Giggles that have been with us for almost all 3 years is fantastic. To have Lawrence as our EP that's invested in us continuing to grow is amazing and a blessing in and of itself. But that, I'm telling you, like, I don't know if people who start podcasts realize all the time, if you're not the Draymonds, the Travis and Jason, Jeff T, Paul George, like, it is not necessarily something that you could just say, oh, I'm going to just go to Best Buy, get this Yeti and get popping. No, like, the work that that takes place to do podcasts is vast. And even, bro, and that's why I brought up the Spotify point, because Spotify was throwing millions of dollars at these people who have grand platform. Like, you tell me the Obamas didn't have a platform. Like, the first pod the Obamas put out would have done 10 million, 5 million easily for one of them, let alone both. Kim K could do a couple million listens easily. Prince Harry and Meghan different continents of people listening. And Spotify got zero return on all of that. And so it's just like, all right, if those people get Spotify zero return, what does that leave for the rest of the podcasting space? Because you could feel, you could start to feel this. You talk about the boom, like you feel the saturation of pods where it's like, all right, maybe there's almost too many people in the space. Mm-hmm. And you see like a lot of podcasts have that started are no longer in existence. And I think people realized maybe a year ago, oh, it's not as sweet as I thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I still have hope for the medium. I love the medium. I love conversation. And just because it didn't work out for those people in terms of the superstars where people are like, well, we're not going to invest it. One thing that's always going to be for certain, people want content. That's 100% no matter what. People want content. Where are the people? Where are the people going to get their content? And I think that's where the money is going to go. I think, what was it, Mr. Beast?
Yeah,
he got this new money from Amazon, and he's a YouTuber. What they're paying for is not necessarily you. They're paying for the people that you draw.
Right.
So when companies now that are getting smarter, and I'm on the front lines of this, where you can, you used to be able to, you know, finagle some numbers and they'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, let's do it. These companies are getting a lot smarter in terms of, okay, what are your impressions like? Okay, what? How often do you post? Is there a video element, right? Like they want to know more details about how you're going about your business of making and creating the content that you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared in all the aspects of what content creation is. It isn't just, and again, I would encourage, if you want to do it and you just want to just crack the mic and just talk with your friends, by all means, like do it. Like, I encourage people to have those conversations, record conversations, like, for future generations, right? Like, I got a bunch of catalog that my daughter and I is going to find and enjoy and see her dad grow over the course of, you know, my career. Like, I'm glad that I'm doing all of this stuff. But in terms of the business section of it, again, people are attracted to authenticity and the niche that you're invading in. And if you're connecting with people on a real level, they'll follow you. They'll go with wherever you go. Yeah. And that's what these companies want to pay for. That's why they were excited about the Obamas and Kim K.
Right.
Is not necessarily for them. It's because of the people that follow them.
Yeah. And you could project what just, the audience could.
Right.
Be.
Yeah. Right. Right. So I think that I don't think it's going to come from, you know, celebrities, right? Like, Kai Cent, right?
Oh yeah, Kai Cent. The streamers, yeah.
Yeah, like they have audiences.
Yeah.
And people want to pay because whatever they do, and it's not my bag, you know, maybe I'm out of the demo, I'm getting too old.
Yeah, you out of the demo.
But I still have to look at the landscape of content creation on a digital level.
Yeah.
And I got to respect what they do. I have to. They get attention. People want to watch them, and I got to respect that. So the thing is, on our end, right, people who want to continue to gain more and more following is continue to do what we do, but always be authentic to what we do. And the people that rock with us, they're going to rock with us. And the people that don't, that's cool.
Tone, I'm glad the people have been able to, after a little hiatus, hear your voice at least for a little bit, wet the whistle, of Super Yo, of Tony Gill, content. I know the folks missed you. When I go into my parents' house and I hear the first thing is about what happened to Tone and not me. That's one thing. It's like, all right, first of all, chill out. Like, I'm your brother. But I know people were concerned.
Beef. Tone. Yeah, no beef. I'm alive.
He's not on Heron. He's not alive and well. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just not sleeping that much these days.
Mm-hmm. And I've enjoyed Carlos. And, you know, I told you guys in the chat, I would like to talk and meet with Carlos. You know, one day he was excellent. He is funny. He does impressions.
He does.
Like, he's a great content guy. And I can't wait till he's back on the show. He's very entertaining. So you guys got a wide set of friends and entertaining friends to have on. So as much as I love this show, it's just kind of right now, you know, schedules are, you know, mismatching at the moment. But, you know, we're going to get it together. We're going to get it back. This podcast isn't going anywhere soon. So,
no, we're gonna be just fine, and we appreciate that the people have been very open to Carlos. I know people have loved him as well, and mm-hmm. I think something that, and I talked about this with Jason, like I didn't want you to think that we had given up on you. Where I think I'll let you behind the curtain. I think that we felt like, dang, Tone doesn't want to disappoint us. Like, Tone don't want to disappoint Russ. He don't want to disappoint Jason by telling us that it's starting to be too much. But we could see it. And it was at a point where we were just like, all right, Tone not going to tell us that he can't do it. Which is not a bad friend quality. Like, he's going to do everything he can to try. But as opposed to doing that, we wanted to be like, hey, man, if you can't do it, that's okay. It don't change our friendship. It don't change how we mm-hmm. think of you. And we know your situation has changed, and it's changed for all of us. And we've had to adjust some different things. But I think it was important for everybody involved that this happened. I think it was especially for you, so you could learn how to be a dad. I think it's very important to you. I know it's very important to you. Mm-hmm. And yes, we want you to be the best dad ever. And so, yeah, we're going to try some different things, man. And we're going to throw some stuff at the wall, and we're going to see what sticks, and we're going to go from there. But you're always welcome here in your house, Tone, on the Sports Jason podcast.
I mean, I have to listen to every episode. I'm still editing.
You also have to listen to every episode because you're editing regardless. But when you ever want to crack the mic, just know you always have an open seat here to Jason Pike. Yes, this man's listening to every show because we're sending it to him to edit still, because he is still our producer. Yeah,
so that's why I didn't feel like I went anywhere. Like, at least for me, I know from the audience, it might feel that way because I'm not talking as much, but it didn't feel like I went anywhere. Like, most of this is the easy part. Like, talking on a microphone is easy. Yeah. Like, the work is editing. That's the work. You know, I love that too. This is what I've grown that skill, but that's the actual work. This is
right.
This
sitting is there, cutting it up, taking out what needs to be taken out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that is definitely the labor of love that you have. But you're always welcome when you got thoughts and you're like, yo, can I get 10 minutes to talk about something? You got 10 minutes. We're not gonna say no. Mm-hmm. And I know the people want to hear from you, so you always have that space here.
All right, appreciate it. Can't wait to hear you and Jason talk about Diddy in the next episode.
Brother, you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to talk about Diddy. Like, let me tell everybody out there, there are a lot of things actually that we're not going to touch on this podcast because we have jobs outside of here. Number one on that list this week, he's the artist formerly known as Puff Daddy, aka Diddy, aka Brother Love. We're not talking about it. I don't want any type of Diddy smoke right now.
No Diddy.
Listen, no Diddy. When the feds raid all three of your homes at the same time, they know something. So mm-hmm. we just gonna leave it at that. This podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at Cheats and Giggles. It is the end. Almost the end of sleep month. When you're listening to this podcast, you get 25% off during sleep month. And our listeners, if you go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA or use our promo code sports, that is SPORTS sports, you get an extra $10 off on top of the 25% off for sleep month. help out Colin, help out our friends at Cheats and Giggles. They make sure that I
help
get
my help out. What?
Honestly, help them out, but help yourself out for sure. Like, they helped me get my 7 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. They helped Tone get his 2 hours.
Best 45 minutes.
45 minutes night. Of sleep every night before you got to feed Anaya. Like, it is they're elite. You not only get Sheets, the Sheet set that is fantastic. I got it in like 4 or 5 colorways right now. I got the purple, I got the blue, I got the cream color.
Just collect them like Jordans.
It's
adult Jordan collection. And when you got a good quality feet set,
there is it'll keep you warm in the winter. It'll keep you cool in the summer. Like, it's fantastic. Sheetsgiggles.com/SA. We're also brought to you by BetMGM. You can get up to 1500. Bet, don't delay. So you get up to 1500. I don't usually do this. It's up to $1,500 back in free betting credit if you do not win your first bet with BetMGM. If you use promo code adjacent1000, that is adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sports books. I haven't said this in a while. Tone, anything else before we let the fine folks go?
Hey, when they tell you, do you want to go to the Diddy party? Just don't go.
Listen, I don't think anybody going to Diddy party these days. I think the Diddy party is going to be happening behind bars. And on that note, we will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.